Greetings in the name of Christ and in the joy of the Lord. What a wonderful moment to meet our God tonight. I bless the Lord for what He has done and what He's doing. And as we open our hearts to Him, God is going to meet us and God is going to speak to us. God is a wonderful God, loves to be with us, and I trust that He will be with us tonight. I know we've just prayed, and I know we just sang, "Open the windows of heaven," but if you would permit me, could we stand again and pray? I find it hard to preach without praying. Oh, Heavenly Father, one more time in the house of prayer, we come to You. This is Your Zion. This is Your church of the living God. And we thank You this evening, Lord, that You are here and that You are speaking to us. And we come to You, Lord, just in the humility of our heart, in the brokenness of our life. We come begging for mercy and begging for truth and begging for more power from You, O God. And we pray tonight that You would be here and that You would speak to us. Lord Jesus, I ask that You would bind the powers of darkness, the demons, the devils, in Jesus' name, any hindering spirit. And Lord, give us freedom and give us peace and help us, O God, to understand what You want to tell us. O God, You know the message that You've laid on my heart, that You want me to preach tonight, and God in heaven, I give it back to You. I pray that You would pour it out, Lord Jesus, upon us, that we might understand. Help us, Lord, I just pray, O God, don't let the raven from hell snatch away the seed, lest it would be understood. And allow us, O God, to have a touch from God tonight. We lay at the pool of Bethesda. We are there, Lord. We're waiting. We are asking, O God, touch the waters, Lord. We need healing. We need forgiveness. We need help. We're on the planet that is cursed and on the planet that has much sin, Lord. And we pray, O God, come and visit us. Thank You for these brothers and sisters, friends that have come. Young people, children, bless them, Lord. Bless us together, Lord, now as we look at Your word, and allow us to be touched by You tonight for Jesus' sake and for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. This is a wonderful time that we can be together. And I bless the Lord that He has given to us a word that is sure, a word that is true, something that we can follow, something that will get us home. It's all about getting home. It's about making our way home and finding our way home. There's many people that will never find the way home. And some people think they're on the way home and they're not on the way home. But tonight I want to look at a truth that God has so deeply instilled into my own heart. I've entitled the message this evening, "The Power of Dying." The power of dying. Some time ago in my life, I was reaching out to God. I was reaching out to Him. And you know, we get to those times in life when we just so much would long to be deeper with God. Thank You. We would be deeper with God, closer with God, getting closer to God. And this moment in my life, I was reaching out and I was asking God. You know, like a little son that sometimes just wants to hold daddy's hand. There's many little boys here and girls here. They come to You, Father, sometimes they say, "Hold my hand." That's how I felt that night. I said, "God, I just want to hold Your hand through this journey that I was going through." And I felt a deep need for the hand of my Father. And I said, and I asked Him this question: "Can I walk with You?" And it was like the Spirit of God just spoke to me, and He said, "Only if you die. Only if you die How can I walk with God if I die? But that's what the message is tonight. I can walk with God. Many people want to walk with God. They talk about God. They try to follow God. But there's people today that are following God without God. They are following things, but they're not following God with God. I wanted to walk with God. I wanted to walk with Him. And no doubt there's many of you and maybe all of you that want to walk with God. That's why you're here. But I would like to tell you tonight, the word from heaven to me was, only if you die. I never saw a person that died take his own casket and walk out to the graveyard. Someone else takes over when you die. When you die, someone else is in charge. You're not in charge anymore. I'm not in charge anymore. I will not carry my casket to the graveyard. Someone else will carry my casket because I died. And when I die, someone else takes over in my life. The power of dying. There's a tremendous power in dying. See, dying transitions us to a different power. At every true conversion, there's a funeral. At every true conversion, there's a funeral. Something dies. You know, when I look at God, the only right I have is to die. My tongue must die. My way must die. My will must merge. My will must break. I must die. My reputation must die. My casket is full of me. You know, in every revival that ever was, it started with death. Paul said, I die daily, in 1 Corinthians 15:31. On the way here, I saw some beautiful fields with tremendous green corn. And it looked, there was life there. But you know, I told my wife, there's a field of death. There's a field of death below that ground, below that dirt, hidden down there below the dirt was something that had died down in there. And as a result of that death, there was tremendous power to push out and growth came out of there, resurrection life, but it only comes when there is death. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, the Bible tells us. You know, people are lonely today. People are lonely today. And maybe the reason is because we don't die. We're going to be alone if we don't die. Our hearts are going to be lonely hearts. There's a great, great loneliness in many people's lives today. You can be in tonight, even tonight, you can be here among many people and have a very, very lonely life. Have a very, very lonely life because you are abiding alone. Except we die, we abide alone. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell me that night and that evening that made such an impression on me. You may walk with me if you die. I never forgot God's impression through His Holy Spirit upon me. If I die, well, how do I die? You know what? This message this evening is maybe not too popular. But if you can understand and if God will give you grace to follow this, there's going to be a tremendous power from God that is going to come upon you as you die. I was reading about a pastor just a couple days ago that had started over 400 some churches in China. Tremendous movement of God in that little flock movement. But you know what? He started those churches, he preached in those churches, he taught them. But you know, one day the security police came and took that man, they took his Bible, and for the next 20 years he was dying for Jesus. But you know what? His message is still circulating, and no doubt some of you have those books in your bookshelf. And they're still ministering today. They're still speaking. But it's the power of dying through great persecution through great difficulty, the power of dying. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. I want to look at and confirm this truth with the Word of God. To have a church with life, it must be filled with people that died. A deep walk with God comes from deep dying. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Always bearing about, this is Paul, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in me, but life in you. The power of dying, when there is deep death in our life, where there is deep brokenness, a deep giving up, a deep surrender, an absolute surrender, a full giving everything to God, there's a power that comes into your life and into our life that will witness to people. It will send people. I remember speaking to one brother that said, people walked into this the presence of this man, and he didn't even have to say anything, and they got down on their knees and started repenting. The power of dying. Oh, what if we could have a whole church filled with death? We are so done with ourselves. We're so finished. My reputation I'm not protecting my reputation anymore. I'm not protecting myself anymore. I'm willing to just follow God. My will is broken. Wherever He wants me to go, I'll go. Whatever He wants me to do, I'll do. I'll just walk with my God. I'll follow my God. But let me tell you something. There's a painful part of dying. But there's a tremendous power that comes as we die. You know, in many churches today, God looks weak. God is embarrassed and hurt. We're powerless. Churches are sinning. People are turning to idols for their fun and for their enjoyment. They had direction, but they lost it. Discouraged and depressed marks the churches today. And you know, I wonder, where is our God? Where is this God? You know what? God is still there, but the lives aren't broken. The lives didn't die. We have not died to my own way. I have not died to myself. I have not died and broken my heart. Let my heart be broken. You know, I believe the world doesn't want Jesus because His children are needy. His children are needy. I've told our congregation, if the power of God is in our congregation and there's life there, people are going to fill up the church. And you know, you're going to find people are looking for life. But life comes from death. Life will never come into our lives unless there's death. Deep breaking. Oh, but I don't. But what will they say? What will happen? What is going to happen? You know what? When we are done and finished, it doesn't matter what happens. We're going to walk with our God. We may walk with Him if we die. And you know the reason I found in my own heart why I have to die in my own heart, in my own life, my own way has to die. It's because if I don't die and I have a hold of Jesus' hand and I'm walking with Him and we walk together on our journey towards heaven, then all of a sudden he will ask me things to do. He will ask things for me to not do. He will ask of me, and I will say, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. And so I can't walk with Him. That's the part of me that has to die, where I give up and give God everything. God wants a power on earth, spiritual power. You know, the power in the first church was established without a name, without a building. But its members and leaders had the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. And it came through the breaking, the giving up, and the dying. See, before power came, something ended. Look at Peter. I'm not going to turn there, but look at Peter. Peter was trying to walk with Jesus. If you look at Peter in the Gospels, you notice something. Peter was trying to walk with Jesus. He said, Jesus, I will go with you. I will go with you to death. I will be with you all the way. But you know what happened to what Peter did? Peter denied his Lord. He denied his Lord. He wept bitterly. And as he wept bitterly, the poverty of his soul came upon him. And when that poverty came, that he was done. Peter was done. He waited at Pentecost. And at Pentecost, something happened to Peter. Something happened to Peter. After that, Peter preached the gospel. He preached his first message, his first sermon. You know, Peter had spoken much and nothing happened. But after that experience that he had when he started walking with God with a deep dying in his own way, 3,000 souls found the Lord. Peter went up to the temple, John and Peter. And when they got there was a man laying there. Peter always had the answers. He always had things to say. But when he got there, he said, he had his hand out. He wanted money. Peter said, I have nothing. Peter identified his poverty. He saw his poverty. I have nothing except I have what I'll give. I'll give you what I have. And that was in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. See, the power in Peter's life came from the death and the dying that Peter went through. You know, if we look at Peter in the Gospels, we tend to think that's how I am and that's how we are sometimes. But let me say this, that is the life without walking in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not given in the Gospels yet. That came in Acts. And when Acts came, Peter changed. There was a dying that happened when Peter wept. And you know, I wish sometimes we could weep. We could again weep for our own undoneness, for who I am. Get on our knees and cry and cry and cry until the power of God comes upon us. And we are done and I'm finished and it's over. My heart is broken. I'm done. There's nothing here anymore. Let me ask you a question. When does a gathering of believers become a church? I believe it becomes a church when the power of dying is so intense and the Holy Spirit comes upon those people and we are emptied of ourselves and we are done. My heart is broken. My will is broken. I am finished. It's over. So that the presence of God is there, the power of God is there. His glory is cutting into my darkness and speaking to us and helping us. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is a church that is finished with themselves. They're done. They're done. And this was God's message to me. God so much wants to be in control of our life. In fact, when there was a conversion in our hearts, when a conversion happens in our life and we become born again, God is of the understanding that He will get our heart. He will get everything about me. He will get it all. Everything. Something has to die to get there. We sometimes say, if that person would only become a Christian, he would be so useful. But I want to remind us this evening, it's not our equipment but our poverty that makes us useful for God. The more we die, the more useful we become. The more we give up, the more we have an absolute surrender to God. We sell out for God with everything. God, I sell out to you. See, at the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. So what is wrong with our, that the power of God is not in people's lives and in the congregation, in the churches. You know, it seems like God sometimes stands against. I want to take you to a scripture in James 4 and then in 1 Peter 5. I want to just look at this scripture briefly. So what is wrong that the power of God and God is distant? If God is distant, I want to show you something here. In James 4, verse 6 it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Now let's turn to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God resists the proud. You know, my understanding of God was and has been and still is in to some degree, that God is out there with his arms out, just waiting for us. But I notice another side of God here. Do you see it? It says, God resisteth the proud. He actually stands against, he opposes, and there's no grace. Why do people not have grace? Why are the counseling centers filling up? You know what? It's because people are not willing to break down and give everything. I think if we could stand at the counseling centers and let me say this. I'm not against counseling centers in this respect. My wife and I have been counseling for 30-some years and helping people. But I believe the Church of Jesus Christ has the answer for those people. And I believe the Word of God has the answer. I know we've gone through many things, and some of us have hurt deeply. I know what it is to hurt deeply. I know what it is to cry myself to sleep as a boy. I know many of those things. But you know, I know what it is to feel rejection. I know what it is to not want to go to school. I was a boy that was mocked. I was a preacher's kid. I was one that was, we were the goodies. And you know what? It didn't feel good to an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old. Those things were difficult. Rejection. I know what it is to try to hurt myself so that I could tell my mother that I have, my stomach hurts, so that I could be honest and wouldn't lie. I would beat myself to try to make so that I could be honest and tell my mother so I wouldn't have to go to school. That was the trauma. But you know what? At almost 14 years old, when that night when God got a hold of me, I was an ungodly sinner. You might have heard my testimony. I was living an ungodly life as a little Amish boy back in those years. And I was afraid to die and didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know how to find my God. I didn't know how to go about. But that night when I found God and I found peace, my life changed so deeply. It's never been the same all these 50-some years. And the passion and the fire and that God put into my heart has never left me. And I'm standing here preaching this and telling you, if you are depressed, if you are struggling, find your God. Go down into the deep waters with God and find God. That night when I found God, I found an acceptance in Jesus. That from there on, it took me all the way through my life, and it didn't matter anymore if those people were mocking me, because I had one true friend, and that was Jesus Christ. He was there for me as a little boy, and he helped me all those through my teenage years. But I had to give him everything. I remember that night how God changed my life and gave me an acceptance. And I want to say this: God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And you know, God gives us grace, but we have to break, we have to give up, and we have to give everything. Then grace comes, and as I humble my life, Oh, you know, but people don't understand me. Oh, I know, but people, what will people say? I'm ashamed. You know what? It's better to be ashamed now than to be ashamed, have Jesus be ashamed when he comes in the clouds. And he comes to Allen County and he's looking for the saints and he won't come to your door. That's going to be a sad, sad day. But you know, our answer is in Jesus. I believe one of the reasons that there are so many people struggling with depression, when the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit, is because we are proud. I think if we could stand at the door of every counseling center and somehow God could deal with our pride in our heart. You know what? I wasn't going to say this, but let me ask this question. No doubt there's people here that have hurt deeply and maybe are hurting tonight. My heart goes out to you. I know what it is to hurt. But let me ask you, if that person hurt you, if that person hurt you and you are still struggling, maybe in bitterness and unforgiveness, what actually hurts when you get hurt? Is it your ankle? Is it what hurts? You know what really hurts? It's the pride in my heart. And if somehow God can deal with me through a dying process of a deep giving up and a deep dying, if God could somehow deal with me on that, you know what? Look at Jesus. Do you think Jesus had any pride in his heart? I don't think he had any of. And you know, there he was. They spit into his face. They beat him into his face. The blood was running down. His back looked like a plowed field. And you know what? He stood there and said nothing. Oh, the grace that was there because of the dying in his spirit. But you know, one of the things that happens is Jesus experienced something. We'll get to that in a moment. Coming back to this, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace. What we need is grace. And let me give you one definition of grace tonight. Grace from God is the unusual strength from God to go through whatever you face. It's the strength that you and I don't have, but we get it through death. And as we give up and give everything, we get an unusual strength to go through. Wonderful, wonderful. So God resisteth the proud. In Leviticus 26:19, it says this, I will break the pride of your power and I will make your heaven as iron. Did you ever find yourself in a situation where it seemed like you could cry and call out to heaven, pray, and God just, heaven was just, it was just, you couldn't reach him. You couldn't get through. It seemed heaven was iron. The gate was closed. The door was closed. And we're trying to get to God and we can't find him. I know what that is. And maybe I'll share that tonight. I don't know. But I will break the pride of your power and I will make your heaven as iron. And when we get desperate and we're trying to get to heaven, we're trying to get, God used to be so close, but all of a sudden God is not there anymore for me. It seems like I don't know where he went and what happened. Let me tell you, go back down on your knees and start breaking before God. God will come back. God will be there. Heaven will become iron when our hearts are proud. In Proverbs 21:4, it says, a high look and a proud heart is sin. Proverbs 6:16, it speaks about everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Verse 5. Well, where did this come from? You know, we live in an age today that maybe, I don't know if you're thinking about it. There was an article in a secular magazine some time ago that spoke about narcissism. And I don't know if you ever had a message here on narcissism or if you even know what narcissism is. I didn't know what it is. I didn't know what that meant. Narcissism, this article said, narcissism is on the upswing. And let me define what that means, what narcissism is. Narcissism is an excessive admiration of oneself, an excessive admiration of myself. And it comes from a Greek mythology that speaks about, if you go back to your dictionary, you'll find this right in your dictionary. It'll tell you that there was this boy that sat by a pool. And you know how it is when you sit by a pool that is, the waters are completely calm. It's like a mirror. And he was sitting there and he was looking into this pond. And as he looked in there, he saw himself. And the more he looked, the more he liked what he saw. And he kept on looking and kept on bending over and looking at this beautiful image of himself. And the more he admired that, the more he became enthralled with what he saw. He had an admiration for what he saw that he actually tipped over and fell into the pool and drowned. That's where the word narcissism comes from. It's an excessive admiration for me. It's about me. Now, we live in an age today, I don't know, I think I'm free to share tonight, because I don't know, I really don't know you, and I don't know your heart. But I know what God has been laying on my heart. This article said this: research shows more people today that have narcissistic traits than in previous generations. We're the generation of narcissism. We're the generation of me, myself. Such traits include a very positive and inflated sense of self, which is illustrated by a preoccupation of our smartphones, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Social networking is a celebration of individuality. It's about me. It's about who I am, how I look, what I did. You know, it's the focus of me. And when I focus on me, God resists the proud, and we start to lose our relationship with God. And as we lose that relationship with God, we become depressed. We have to keep running. We have to keep fighting to keep our image. And you know what? God wants us to give up, to spend time at His feet, and to break and to give God everything. Oh, I know what that is. I could show you. Let me just very quickly show you where this came from. Where does this interest in self come from? If you care to, I'm going to just read a couple of verses in Isaiah 14. This is where it came from. Did you know that pride was actually started in heaven? It started in heaven. That's where it came from. This is a part of what was in heaven. And this was Lucifer. Verse 12 of Isaiah 14 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" The question that he's asking, Lucifer, how did you get out of heaven? How did you fall out? Did you get too close to the edge and one day you fell out? How did you fall out of heaven? Was the door not tight enough? What do you think? Do you think there's a chance that when we get to heaven we might fall out again? Well, Lucifer was in heaven. He was one of the favorite cherubs. He was a flaming angel in heaven. He had great honors as an angel. But he, now here's the question, how art thou fallen from heaven? Now look at some of this that reveals how he was. Verse 13 says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars or the angels of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation at the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." But notice this, he opens not the house of his prisoners. That's Lucifer. Lucifer will never open your prison. He will never open the prison. That's why we need someone else to come and open our prison. I've been there. We've been in chains. We've been in chains of sin, chains of self. We've been so proud. I have been there. And I stand here this evening just to tell you this. I want to be more broken. I want to be I want more dying in my own heart. And I was, before I came here, God was really speaking to me. You know what can happen to us? All of a sudden we start protecting my reputation again. I start fighting for my rights. And oh, then God all of a sudden wanes away. Well, notice this. What does this sound to you? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. Do you notice some repetition there? Where's the focus? I. And this is what we see in our culture today. This is what we see in our society today. It's about me. Oh, if somehow God could deliver me from me. In Job 41, it's 34, it says, the devil is the king over all the children of pride. You know where this dying happened, the dying to myself. You know where the dying, the brokenness started, where that principle was born? Was born in the dust, in the dirt of Gethsemane. There we see how Jesus, he had something before him. He lay there in the dirt and he said, oh, take this away. You know, tonight I can see things in my life. I say, oh God, please. Do I really have to do that? Do I have to go there? Do I have to lay that all down for you? That's how Jesus felt in Gethsemane. He said, he was there, no doubt clutching the grass, sweating like drops of blood. And he said, oh, Father, let this cup pass. Let this thing that I have to take pass. Let what is before me, oh, Father. Then he said, but not my will, but thine. And that's the dying that happened with Jesus. And that's the dying that I need to go through. Every one of us, if we want to get to heaven, have to go through Gethsemane. We have to go through Gethsemane, and then we go to the judgment hall. See, in Gethsemane is where my will breaks. And in the judgment hall is where, see, something that is more painful than Gethsemane is the judgment hall. That is where people come against you. That is where people don't understand you. That is where people, your friends, leave you. Those are difficult, difficult moments. But I believe Jesus showed us the journey back to God. He went to Gethsemane, and then he went to the judgment hall, and there his friends forsook him. And that's where he felt rejection. He felt a lot of pain there. And then from there he went to the cross, and there he died. And from that death came resurrection power, which is the power we're talking about tonight. When we die, there's power coming into our lives. Power to overcome sin. That thing that has been after you haunts you. Well, let me tell you this. It's painful. But we must die. Our hearts must break. You know how King David, let me just abbreviate the story to you. King David was a king that sinned terribly against God. He was a man after God's own heart, but he sinned terribly. He got up on his roof one night. One evening he got up on the roof and he looked across and he saw his neighbor and he saw a woman. And he said, go get that woman for me. They brought the woman and he committed adultery. He sinned terribly. And in his sins, David was close to God. David walked with God. David was there with God. But now David had sinned and David had fallen away from God. And in his falling away, now he finds himself at a distance with God. And David was struggling to please God. David had sinned. And he was struggling and wondering, how can I please God? Now, in his journey to try to come back to God, notice here what he says in Psalms 51. This is his cry to God because he lost the relationship with God. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. My sin is ever before me. It's always in front of me. When I wake up in the morning, there it is. When I go to bed, there it is. It's before me. Oh God, I need a cleaning. I need cleansing. I need cleansing. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. In verse 7, purge me, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8, the bones which thou hast broken may, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He was trying to find the way back to God, and he couldn't find the way back. And then he said this. Well, before that he said this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. Cast me not away. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then he said, what do I do? Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. I would like to give you more of the sheep. I will give you more sheep. I will give you my goats. I will sacrifice everything. But God, you don't want that. Well, God, why don't you want that? I used to take my goats and put them on the altar. That was a sacrifice that you wanted. But now you don't want it anymore. Why don't you want that? And then look at what God says. What God told him, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. See, David wanted to give God everything, and so do we. There's times that we, okay, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to read two chapters. I'm going to read in the morning, and I'm going to read in the evening. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to do that more. See, we're still trying to get peace with God. We're trying to appease him. But you know what God wants tonight? All he wants is a broken heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a giving up, a dying of my will, a dying of myself. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. God is not going to despise any one of us that comes crying at his feet. God is going to be there for us. Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. I didn't know if I was going to share this, but let me just quickly share with you one thing. Maybe my own experience. I became born again when I was almost 14 years old. And God changed my life. But you know what? As time went on, I was not the broken man. I was the lover of myself. I loved myself a lot. I was not as broken as God wanted me to be and as I should have been. I got married. For some time, we didn't have any children. And then one day, God gave us a beautiful little girl. I'll share this to help you understand the price of dying, the cost of dying. It would not be fair if I would just tell you. That we must die. When God gave us that beautiful little girl, she was a little girl that looked like a little Indian. She had black hair. She was just such a. I remember feeling that I was probably the happiest husband, the happiest man in Holmes County. It was so special. We brought that little girl home. My wife and I knelt in front of the love seat, and I remember holding that little girl in my arms, hands, and saying, oh God, I dedicate this girl to you. I give this little child to you. I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't understand everything. About 6 weeks later, she started having a lot of pain. She started crying a lot. And she kept crying more, sometimes 3-4 hours at a time. And often in the evening, when we were ready to go to bed, she would just cry and scream and struggle. And we went all the way, all over the U.S. to try to find the answer to what was wrong. I remember the bitterness in my heart when some women in the church, we heard, they said there's something wrong with that little girl, and we were still fighting that it wasn't true. Oh, the bitterness that settled in my heart. I was still trying to protect myself because I was thinking, for us to have a child that is not normal, how would that be? That was a struggle. And in that battle, we went across all the way to Arizona and Iowa and went to state-of-the-art testing and trying to find out. To this day, we have no answers. Yes, we do have an answer, and I'll share that answer later. But that little girl was crying, our only daughter. She would cry and cry for hours. And I remember we couldn't get her to go to sleep. We finally, my wife would swing. I put up a swing in the basement. She would swing that little girl at night for hours at times. And I would go out beside the house. There was a little bush out there. And there beside that little bush, I would get down on my knees and I would cry out to heaven. There was no doctor that could help, no hospital that could help, no family could help, the church couldn't help. But I had one thing, I had God. And as I was crying out to God, it seemed like there was something was just blocking me from God. I could not reach God. It seemed like my prayers were just echoing back. And it didn't reach God. And I spent long times out there, night after night, week after week, out there crying out to God at night, God, where are you? And you know, my heaven had become iron. It was like I couldn't penetrate through. I couldn't get through. God, where are you? I was wondering where God is. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. One evening, she started crying at 6:30 and cried till 5 o'clock the next morning. We had just had her to the emergency room. Her skin was turning black. She looked like a little starved African child. Skin and bones. And we couldn't do anything. And she was laying there. Her head was just moving back and forth in excruciating pain. We don't know what it was. And there she was. And you cannot get used to see your loved one suffer. And there we were. And 6:30 at evening, we tried to do everything we could. I finally went to bed, and even with her just screaming and screaming, finally at 3 o'clock that night, my wife and I got down on our knees, and her mother was with us. She's a widow. And we got down on our knees, and we started crying out to God. And I remember that night, something happened to me. There was a deeper dying in my heart than I had experienced before. I was finished. That night I confessed every sin that I'd ever done. And you know what? There was a sin in my life that I had done 10 years before. But I never told, did not tell the church. I didn't feel that I need to go to the church with it. Didn't want anyone to know. And that night, as I started crying out to God, and we were desperate, there was no one to help, no one on the planet Earth to help us. And as we cried out to God, finally, we cried for 2 hours and just cried out to God, God, help us, God, where are you, God? And as we confessed, I confessed everything. I remember the moment that my heart broke. And there was a death that happened in my life that night like I've not experienced before since my conversion. I had become a very proud person. I had become a very a person that I thought I had it together, but that night I was done. It was finished. I cried and I said, God, and we were hanging on to this little girl. This was our only daughter, our only child. And we had waited for this child, and here finally we have this child, and now there she lay, and there she was dying, and we didn't know what to do. And as we gave God that little girl that night, something happened in our hearts. I remember a touch from God there in front of that sofa that I never forgot since. That was some years ago. That has changed my heart and allowed me to get a glimpse of the wickedness, that how desperately wicked my own heart was, how selfish my heart was, how much I focused on my heart. And God just broke us that night. After 2 hours of crying, finally, we couldn't even pray anymore. There was nothing to pray. We just wept. We just wept and wept and wept. And after we gave God, we told God, it's your child. It's not ours anymore. It's all yours. And when we did that, she became completely quiet in that little room. We thanked God, and then we tiptoed in, and there she was, sleeping. We thought she left us and is gone. But that night, God broke my heart. God did a work of dying in my life. I told God that night, I will go to the church. I will go. I will do anything. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what people think. I'm following you, God. I'll give you everything. There was an absolute surrender in our hearts that night. God, it's all yours. I went to the church, and I told the church what I had done 10 years earlier, and a horrible, ungodly sin that I felt I hurt the church. See, when we sin, we're a part of the body, and we sin, we hurt the body. We sin against the body. I went to confess that. Tremendous freedom that came to me. I'm not sure how long, maybe 6 weeks after that. I was working away one Saturday, and my wife made a desperate attempt to get a hold of me. And finally she got a hold of me, and I quick came home. And she sat there with this little limp body, holding this little girl. I remember kneeling down there in front of that little rocker. We prayed and we cried, and then we watched her leave. On her gravestone are these words, a mission without words. She never said daddy, she never said mama, she could never sit by herself. And she never did anything to deserve such pain that she went through. But I know why God sent that little girl. I long to see her again. When I get to heaven, I would like to tell her, thank her again, because I know that it was her life that changed the level of dying in my heart. And I thank God that He sent her. That's the only reason she came, I believe, so that I could find my way back to Jesus' feet as a broken, broken man. See, in the Church of Jesus Christ, everything must be brought to death, and then the resurrection power. That's where the power in the church comes from. Many sermons can be preached, and many missions started, and countless revival meetings held. But the power of God cannot be seen until the power of dying becomes a real, live experience. in the lives of brothers and sisters in the congregation. It's the way to spiritual power. See, God has a school that His children must attend. It's called the School of Death. It's where our goals and our vision and our dreams all collapse in front of us. And we give them all to God. God, it's all yours. I'm done. I break. I'm willing to die and let myself, my self-love that I have is gone. My reputation is gone. I remember that night after that time of when God really broke us there in front of that sofa and I was done. I remember that next day, God taught us something that I never knew, and that was this. I never understood fasting. I thought when you fast, you just don't eat. But true fasting is when you don't want to eat. You can't eat. You don't want to eat because you have touched God. My friends, do you know what it is to come to that point where you touch God so deeply, where my heart becomes so broken, and I am so finished with my own way, and I'm so done with what I have been doing and how I've been going, and I'm ready to say, God, my dreams, my goals are all yours. Wherever you want to send me, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. That is the message tonight, the power of dying. And then there will be tremendous power in our lives where we can walk in victory, walk in purity, walk in honesty, walk with God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And He will lead us and guide us. And our Christian experience is not going to be a difficult, difficult journey. You know what? When we have nothing to defend, nothing to hide, and nothing to lift up in ourselves, it's all Jesus. It's all Him. There is a tremendous freedom that comes to our hearts. It's all His. It's all Him. See, God is not so concerned about your weakness as He is about your strength. It's your strength that causes. It was my strength that caused me to go through all those difficulties until I was willing to break and to give up. It was my Gethsemane. My Gethsemane. Oh, may God tonight come and take us through the gate into Gethsemane. Let's lie there with Jesus and say, not my will, but thine be done. It's the way to spiritual power. I believe one of the reasons that God takes us through hard times and God takes us through times of deep hurts, it may just be that God is trying to further affect a dying in my heart. Oh, I see that in my life. I think I must have been one of the hardest people, for God had to take me through many, many difficult times. The level of dying determines the distance of our ministry. May God help us. And tonight, would you be willing to go into the garden and kneel with your Jesus and say, God, I give everything. I have some things I've been holding back. I have some things I've not been willing to give. I've just not been ready. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you again, and we thank you for this principle that is so painful and yet so life-changing for us. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would allow us to understand what you are teaching and what you have been telling us in your word. Help us, Lord, to see the desperately wicked hearts that we all have, And oh, how we need a new birth, and how we need a deeper dying, Lord, a giving up and a giving all. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight that you are the answer for all of us. And Lord, if there is someone here that has not given their heart to you, I pray tonight that you would just speak to all of us. Lord, just do your work, whatever you want to do, but do your work in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray now that you would bless us and give to us the presence of God. Give us victory and help us, O God, to find you. We commit ourselves to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe at this time, we'll just keep our heads bowed. And maybe there's someone here tonight that would like to... Maybe God is speaking to you. I don't know what God is telling you. I only know what he told me. Maybe you're here and you would like to make the change for God tonight. Give God everything. Maybe your heart is not broken like God wants it to be. Would you come? I'm going to ask you to come forward and stand here. If there's someone that wants to go a different way tonight, this is your night. Is there someone? Where are our hearts tonight? I'm going to turn this over to our moderator and let him continue how he sees fit.